I'm about everyday style, so really helping women nail that style every day, feel comfortable and confident in what they're wearing, in embracing their bodies, no matter what shape or size it is, no matter what their style personality is as well, is really important for me. So I'm not going to make everyone look the same. So I do that through personal styling, so one-on-one packages, through workshops, through an online membership, and also then I have a blog and a small social media following that I guess mirrors what I do with my clients. So it's all about just making women look and feel amazing every day and helping them elevate their everyday style.
It's Time to Identify, a podcast from Rachel Klaver from rachelklaver.com.
I'm really excited to introduce to you today Caitlin Taylor. Kate is a stylist, blogger, and a shoe hero. She adores shoes. In fact, some might say she's even slightly addicted. Kate has got a great blog that helps women with everyday style. What I really love about what Kate does is she really helps highlight how you can reuse items. You don't have to spend heaps of money, and you can put together everyday items that take you from being a mum to work to going out without a whole lot of other things in between. I'm really looking forward to finding out from her a little bit about how her business has evolved and also potentially getting a few good styling tips from her as well. So I'm looking forward to sharing with you Kate and finding out a bit more about her business. Hi, Kate. It's such a pleasure to have you today on our podcast, Time to Identify. I thought we'd just start with you telling everyone a little bit about what you do and why you do it.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. My name is Caitlin Taylor. I have a business called Chasing Kate. I am an everyday personal stylist and a fashion blogger. I know you and I have talked about the word everyday before, but it's really important to make people understand that, because I think it's really, I'm about everyday style, so really helping women nail that style every day, feel comfortable and confident in what they're wearing, in embracing their bodies, no matter what shape or size it is, no matter what their style personality is as well, is really important for me. So I'm not going to make everyone look the same. So I do that through personal styling, so one-on-one packages, through workshops, through an online membership, and also then I have a blog and a small social media following that I guess mirrors what I do with my clients. So it's all about just making women look and feel amazing every day and helping them elevate their everyday style.
Because one of the things, I know there's been a huge rise in women in particular using stylists to help them work out what they need to wear. And one of the things I notice about often the clothes that you model suggest, occasionally you'll have like a New Zealand designer or an Australian designer, because I hear the twang, in there. But a lot of the time they are everyday basics that are very accessible and everyone could afford. Do you think that's a point of difference for you compared to other stylists? Or do you think that's a growing trend with stylists generally, that they are helping people find things that are just very affordable in wardrobes?
I think both. I think that I would probably even say 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was definitely a point of difference. Because, I think people think stylist and they think fancy, they think high-end, they think special event. And they also think out of the box. Like a lot of stylists, their own personal style is quite out there and bold and confident. And I think people, rightly or wrongly, see that as a reflection of how the stylist is going to dress them.
100%. I think that's so, like I follow a few and I know there's one that's really wears like a lot of jewelry and a lot of, and I'm not that person, so I freak out about
you
the thought about
them.
I just worry that they're going to make me wear necklaces. I hate wearing necklaces because, and they look fabulous, like the people that they style, they look amazing, but it's not my style,
aesthetic.
And I think that, because I feel like I put it on and I want to wear, and then after 20 minutes I'm like, I can't wear that anymore, it just feels too heavy around my neck. But it's just like I think that thing of being able to hear what they do, it's the same with what I do, I guess, is being able to feed, you're basically just enlarging what they do or tailoring what they are like, isn't it?
Correct. And I think it's the skill is being able to listen to people and identify what they're saying to you.
Yeah.
And actually then translating that, through your skill set. And I think that that's where the everyday for me comes in, because I don't want to aim for the 5% who have thousands of dollars and who have fancy events every week to go to. I want the 95% who are me, who are mums, who are trying to run around having a life with kids and husbands and friends and jobs, but want to look good and feel good and don't necessarily have a massive budget either. And it's funny because, you know, I'm aware of I actually think it's the wrong perception that a stylist will make you look like them. However, yes. I'm also very conscious that the style that I put out there is still relatable. So it yes. might be a little bit over the top than what the normal person would wear because that's A, my style personality, and B, my job. But at the same time, like you said, using mainstream brands, using colour palettes and things are not going too over the top. So I'm still relatable and still approachable. Is my bag.
And one of the things I've noticed from you and other stylists is this new movement to use recycled or like reuse, recycle, finding things and repurposing. So like one of the things that you have done on your Instagram, which I really like, and Facebook, is you'll do like one outfit five ways, or you'll style like a dress or something like that and show all the different ways that you can use it so people really can see how they can make a purchase worthwhile in their wardrobe. Is that something that you're really developing more, do you feel?
Look, it's something that I've done for ages. I think it's now because, I mean, I've had a one item three ways series on the blog for about 5 years.
So you're a trailblazer.
Well, it's about versatility, right? Yeah. And I think also, like, I don't have big budget.
No.
So if I can make things work in multiple ways, it's about getting bang for buck. And also that's, I guess, where my creative juices come out. So I love having fun and wearing things a bit differently and not wearing it like everybody else does. So I guess for me personally, it's a kind of a culmination of all of those different things. It's me getting my creative kicks. It's me not having a big budget myself and understanding that my clients don't necessarily. But it's also, and I've been an op shopper from way back. Like I remember, and I wrote a blog post about it, going to the op shop when I was like 12 and 13 and 14 and just having a field day because, you know, my mum would give me like $20 pocket money, you know, and it was like, even since then, it was like, ooh, what can I play with and what can I do? And, you know, and again, like there's so many mainstream labels that you can get your hands on in secondhand shops nowadays that it's almost like, why would you pay full price? There are so many other options.
Definitely. Like, obviously, as a plus female, I find it a bit harder. But my daughter, she's 18, and she like, often I'm saying, man, that's an amazing dress. And it's like, I got it off the dollar rack. And she just, her entire wardrobe is $1 and up to $4 finds from op shops. And she makes them look fantastic and puts them together in her way. And sometimes they're like 1980s style dresses that she's just reshaped or changed and made it really contemporary. Or added something, you know, that from the 2000s just to make it a little bit more contemporary. And I think it's fabulous because really, you know, when we talk about fast fashion, the way to slow down fast fashion is to repurpose it or reuse it, isn't it?
Yep. And I also feel like, you know, and coming from Australia, like you said, I've been here 7 years now. To be honest, the options just aren't as varied in New Zealand.
No.
And I don't like looking like everybody else.
No.
So I think that being able to wear past seasons or to find cool stuff that isn't in the mainstream shops that season, again, just that's where I get my kicks. That's where I get my style kicks, you know. So everybody loves a bargain.
I guess too, though, like for me, that is going back to the difference between style and fashion, isn't it? Because fashion is wearing whatever's in fashion that season.
Correct.
Style is actually having something that you feel good in that you might have and own for 5, 10, 15 years and it's still something that suits you because you love it, so you're confident in it, so it's standing out.
And it reflects your style personality. So that's a big kind of tool that I use with my clients, is asking them what they think their style personality is or what they want their style personality to be. And that we use that as a filter. So when we're shopping or when we're going through their wardrobe, we're actually using their style personality rather than fashion trends to actually help give us direction when we shop. So,
I've got an interesting question about that. So do you think that, because obviously we're influenced by fashion, do you think we're actually also influenced by the people that are around us in terms of what they put on us as what our style personality is? Do you think women find it quite hard to find their individual style personality, you know, if someone's not gone through and worked it through with them?
I think if somebody actually points it out to them that you're allowed to have your own, I think it's easier. But you know, because what I actually do with clients is I ask them to give me three words that they would use to describe their style personality, and they often struggle when they're first confronted with it. So, yeah, absolutely, I think that there's a perception. I mean, I often joke about the mum uniform. You know, yeah. It's jeans, it's white trainers, it's a navy and white striped t-shirt, and it's our hair in a bun. But so, it's just that.
Today I've got my hair in a bun. I'm wearing navy trainers, though, just to say, because I'm wearing black and white pants, but I'm wearing a black and white stripy t-shirt. So I'm feeling a little bit like maybe that is me today.
You've now the mum uniform.
Yeah, I got the mum uniform on today.
I think that's it, you know, and it's funny. So I think we do definitely draw, whether it's style inspiration or we draw style guidelines to those around us, 100%. But I think that it's then, you know, making a point of honing that. And, I mean, you can absolutely wear trainers, jeans, a striped t-shirt and your hair in a bun, but do it in your own way. Like, find a cool t-shirt that's got a pop of pink in it. Or like you said, wear navy trainers or wear...
I'm wearing black and white flicked pants with a black and white striped shirt. So it's like mixing the patterns.
Snap, freak clashing like a queen. That's it, right? So, you know...
Just for totally... visual for everyone else listening, you know.
So I think that definitely we do draw ideas and inspiration. I mean, and that social media has been huge in that as well, obviously, with hashtag influenced and that kind of stuff, like, you know, seeing what everybody else is doing out there. I mean, and I do it myself. Like, I often will, if I see an outfit or an idea of an outfit that I like how someone styled it, I'll actually save it on Instagram.
Oh, 100%. I think that's such a valuable way of doing it.
Totally. And that way you've actually got then a source of inspiration when you get stuck rather than just defaulting to the mum uniform or...
So you've been doing this for 5 years?
I've been a personal stylist for 8.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And I've been in fashion since kind of like my late teens, early 20s. Mm. So kind of out of uni, it's the only career that I've ever worked in. So, I'm a veteran.
Yeah, you are for a young person. obviously you've done your styling and things like that, but we talked a little bit about how one of the things you tried at one point was to sell clothes direct as well, wasn't it, as part of it?
Yep.
So you want to tell us a little bit about what that was and what it looked like?
So what I was finding, I guess it's a bit of a backstory. So when I was shopping with clients and talking to people online and that kind of stuff, I was finding that there were pieces that I was always recommending and people weren't having. So I'd say to them, look, if you just had an awesome denim jacket or if you just had a really cool pair of relaxed joggers, then it would make XYZ work. And there were these key pieces that people seemed to be missing. And I was always taking people to the same places to get them. And, I mean, I guess part of it was like, well, yes, these people are paying me. I mean, from a business perspective, they're paying me for my advice and to take them into these shops. But I'm then making the retailers money by taking the clients in there. So how do I make a bigger margin on these recommendations, particularly, I guess, online and that kind of thing? So I kind of toyed with the idea for a little while, and for me, a Sagittarian, a little while is like 10 minutes because I couldn't make up my mind. Like, in fine. My husband hates it. I'm like, I'm going to start a shop yesterday. Like,
I do those things as well. I'm trying to. Yeah. I slow it down now, but I do relate.
I don't. it drives him nuts. I decided to start a shop, and probably knowing me, built the website overnight, found flyers in 2 days, and just did it. So I started an online store called Kate & Co. And I guess what I wanted to do was make it stand out from the pack, obviously have a place where my existing followers and my existing clients could go to and trust my recommendations. And I also, like, the first couple of shoots, well, actually all the shoots that I did, all the seasons that I did, I shot on different people.
Yeah.
We shot on different shapes, on different bodies, on normal people. Like, I basically called in a whole bunch of favors and used other bloggers and used friends and family. So people could see what the garments looked like on different shapes and sizes. That's kind of how Kate & Co. started.
And how did you find it was a challenge compared to what you're doing? Did it feel like it, did it flow from what you were doing, or did it become a distraction?
It became a distraction. So I wanted it to flow on from what I was doing. I mean, I guess the thing with Kate & Co. was that I also have had 2 babies in 3 years.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing to be able to keep ticking over in theory when I was on maternity leave and physically couldn't see one-on-one clients. I mean, you know, I got to about 37 weeks pregnant and I couldn't walk because the ground would shake. So it physically seeing clients became impossible. So it was kind of, that was part of the plan, is to have something there. It really quickly it became a distraction. I think just because I felt like my message was being, or my time was being diluted, and my energy was being diluted, and having to deal with, no offense anybody, customers. And
100%. You know. Like, I've worked with quite a few retailers now, and every now and again I think about toying back into it and going, I'm going to, you know, do retail. I would love to sell this and things. And then I just have to read like a week's worth of Facebook messages and think, these people are saints. How are they managing this? And I don't mean that from like a, it's just, you know, I can be that customer too. You want this and it doesn't fit, so I want to return it. And you're like, wow, I've got to manage that. And then they want to complain that it costs to return it and all those sort of things go on, you know, and I totally understand it doesn't become fun. By the way, you're doing this an amazing job doing this while you've got a child crying in the background.
Sorry,
I'm just saying
that
has been my life before in previous years, so just well done you.
I just took my laptop off her, which she wasn't happy about, so that's why she's screaming.
That's okay, it's perfect. So what did you decide to do? Did you like, how do you still have that store?
So I still had Kate and Co. in the capacity that I basically use it to sell my own secondhand clothes.
Cool.
So I wound up the ordering. I just found that I got a bit excited with ordering stuff that I liked and didn't actually think about what my conservative New Zealand client would like. Again, being a Queenslander, print and colour.
Oh, yeah, you love lots of palm prints.
I do love a palm print. It turns out Kiwis do not so much.
No, not so much.
Also, I guess the other thing is, having a mainly online-based business, my overheads weren't massive.
Yeah.
So to then have to buy stock and sit on stock and then hustle my butt off to sell stock, I didn't enjoy
stressful.
That. Like, that's not... Yeah, and also, like, the dollar value of what I was selling, like, it was really affordable. So the time and energy it took me to sell a garment, actually... again, from a business perspective, being a working mum, my time is so limited. So I actually sat down and did quite a big analysis about where my time was spent and how much, you know, kind of per hour each facet of my business was making. And the shop ended up kind of being at the bottom of the pile.
I totally understand that. So now you've simplified it, do you feel like it's really made it a lot easier for you as a business owner to really serve your clients better?
I tell you what, the call to actually not order new stock for the following season was just a weight off my shoulders.
That's awesome.
And because the other thing that I did was I ended up hiring somebody a couple of times to do the dispatch. And it just never fully panned out 100%, you know, and it was almost that point where I'd be like, oh, just do it myself, just easier, do it myself.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, again, having all those extra exercises in stock control and staff. And
yeah, absolutely.
And it, like you said, it's totally detracted from what my passion is and what my focus is, and that is making women feel amazing every day. There are so many amazing online retailers that dedicate so much time.
And they love it, right?
Correct. Having an amazing store and an amazing experience, and I just felt like I was just another online shop after a while.
Because I think that is the secret, though, is quite often we feel we need to grow, and to do that we move ourselves away from our passion. And when we do that, that's when things don't work as much. We think it's a great idea. Like I keep on thinking, I've got a running joke with a friend of mine who's a marketer, who we both go, wouldn't it be great to own a cafe? But we've worked enough with cafes to know we really don't want to own a cafe. But there's this lovely romantic idea about how nice it would be to do it. Until you know, you're like, oh, no one turned up on their shift, so now I'm working another 14-hour day. So I do think that getting back to basics is the real winner, because in the end, our businesses should be about what we want to do, shouldn't it?
Totally. And I think also it was, you know, I came back from having Elliot, my second baby, screaming in the background, and my brain was kind of back after I had her, and I had clarity again.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, what I really, really want to focus on is the one-on-ones now that I can do it again, and my workshops and my online, but styling and stuff. And that's a skill that I have. Anyone can build an online store. Like, but I really
It's you being able to do this thing that makes you special.
Yep, totally. And that makes women feel amazing.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Buying a $40 top and getting it in the post is like, well, yay, cool. But it didn't actually, like, I didn't get that satisfaction and that rush You know, so I guess it was twofold for me. It was the emotive side and the creative side, but financially, in terms of a business perspective as well, it just wasn't a smart move.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm 100% cool with pulling up sticks on things that don't work.
Like, which is
I'm
awesome.
I'm quick to pull up the stuff.
That's the winning ingredient of quick decision making, is it's not just quick to start, it's quick to stop
quick
as
to
well.
Stop.
So I would really love it if you could just give everyone a shout out of where to find you, Caitlin, so that if they want to, if they've heard what they have heard today and gone, actually, this is someone I think could help us. Because you do online as well,
I do.
In person, don't you?
Yeah, so I have an online membership called Style Me, which basically gives you 24/7 access to me to ask me any questions.
That's cool.
We have free, monthly how-to videos that are live and that kind of stuff. But yeah, you don't have to be based in Auckland to work with me. So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Chase and Kate Style Coach.
Cool.
And my website is chaseandkate.com.
Awesome. It's been really lovely having you and your accompaniments.
Thanks. little Elliot there in the background.
I once did a job interview with two children screaming in the background and still got the job. So, hey, I think you've done pretty well. But thank you so much for coming. We've really appreciated having you today. And let's hope some people discover you and use your awesome style tips, and definitely follow you on Instagram and Facebook because you have heaps of cool tips on there as well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Marketing, it's so easy to avoid you. Move you all from my memory, and you never get done. Then I wonder why no one ever buys from me. And I realize it's my fault alone. Marketing, it's the job on my to-do list. I prefer to avoid it, pretend it's not just there. But I wonder if I might just be ruining me and preventing my business from growth. Every time I go on Facebook, I see a business promotion. My hand does hover as I start to wonder if I should be doing something. Marketing only works if you do it. It don't count if it's only a plan in a notebook. I remember a time I knew what marketing was. Now that marketing is just a memory.
It might surprise you to find out that I don't like doing a lot of my own marketing. Sometimes it slips to being the third or fourth priority, but if you make it a top priority and put it in the right order, you'll get the leads that you need to grow your business. So here's my suggestion. This is the order that you should prioritize your things for the day. Start with sales and following up sales leads. Go on to your marketing and make sure your marketing activity is done. Then do any of your client work or stuff that you've got to do face-to-face with people, and then do your admin. And if you do it that order, marketing won't be forgotten, and you won't be going on Facebook and noticing everyone else's marketing and not see any of yours there too.
This has been It's Time to Identify, a podcast from Rachel Klaver from rachelklaver.com. Don't forget to hit subscribe to get the next episode.